hope the outline is helpful.
Yeah.
For everybody. It's simple and yet very important, very crucial. Right. You can all, you can see all the principle that is there in this outline. Hi, Jimmy. Afternoon is more free, so.
They just got here.
They just got here, yeah. I know, yeah. Can we make it a little bit cooler?
We're trying. It's as best as we can.
As best as you can. Okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Jimmy, what did you write?
Huh?
What did you write just now? Oh.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, have you read the verses in the afternoon?
Yeah, we just read John 4:19-24 and 1 Peter 2:4-5.
Right. That's very good. Yeah. 4 and 5. So even 4 and 5 shows us that the spiritual house is with his Zion.
Right?
Because Peter put Zion, the living stone, the cornerstone, laid in
Zion. Yes.
It cannot be a geographical Zion. So it must be a heavenly spiritual Zion.
Right.
Right? And it continued to say that, well, we are a kingdom, we are a nation,
right.
A royal priesthood.
Yeah.
So the word is actually super clear and simple.
Yes.
I don't need to speak too much, right? It's all there.
Yeah.
So if the Lord would really open our eyes, it's all there. It's very simple. And unfortunately, we don't see it. A lot of Christians, they don't care, they're not seeking, and they just take for granted what is really is right. But you have to realize something. Basically, what is in the scriptures during the age of the Old Covenant, remember, don't call it Old Testament. This is very important for you to see. You don't go, oh, that's the Old Testament. No, that's the Holy Scriptures. So, basically, without Deuteronomy and without Leviticus and all the Scriptures, the first 5 books of Moses, you will not understand what the Lord is talking about in John chapter 4. You cannot understand. You don't know what does it mean in spirit. Okay, what spirit? A lot of Christians, they don't even know they have a spirit. And in truth, or truth for them is doctrine. And so, spirit, full of doctrine. But you have to go back to see how the worship is in the scripture. So, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, before the new covenant came in, before the reality came in, God already gave us the very basic, fundamental principle of worship. Only because Christ has not arrived yet, so you need to have the ox and you need the sheep, the goats. Pigeon. If you're poor, you cannot afford an offer. You bring a pigeon. That means God will accept it. Even your little experience of Christ is good enough for you to come and worship. But then you like to grow. And so when you grow in your experience, you can bring a sheep, a goat, and so finally you can bring an ox. This is the basic principle here. You cannot come empty-handed. So you need to read here. You need to read, especially concerning the offering. So when we come together, it is to keep the feast. That means we must all be enjoying this wonderful Christ, what He is to us. And what have you experienced of this Christ, of this wonderful Christ? It's a feast. Every meeting must be a feast. But we turn it into a Bible study. What are you going to study? We come to listen to a message, you go home, you learn a little bit more, and so what? And what does God have? Your message? You think God enjoys my message this morning? It is His message to you. He doesn't gain anything. You gain something. Oh yeah, okay, I know what worship now means, but still He doesn't have anything. You may know now what does it mean, worship, okay. But you still didn't bring anything, and I still didn't bring anything. That is why to see this requires a change. And that's the hard part. Now that you understand you have to bring Christ as an offering, what are you going to do about it? Change how?
Ask Him for the experience?
Yes. Actually, this is God's wisdom to make you experience Christ. Otherwise, you don't have to bring anything, so you just bring your ears. You don't bring anything. You don't have to experience Christ. So. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Otherwise he has no Christ to give you, to offer up to the Father. There's no Christ, no Christ. So what we just come to the meeting empty-handed. Christians like to sing that song, just as I am. Like for your initial salvation, yeah, just as you are, because what did you do? But after you're saved, you cannot come just as you are. That song has been put away. You cannot sing that song, although it may be your favorite. No more, you cannot. You have to bring Christ that you really enjoy it as an offering, and there's so many aspects of Christ for you to enjoy. Right. So to keep the feast, that's why there's so many different feasts. Because Christ has accomplished so much and He is so rich. So for example, we come to enjoy the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Do you know how to enjoy that feast, how to keep the Feast of the Unleavened Bread? You have to learn, are we keeping the feast? Or do we still have a lot of leaven, and you are not getting rid of the leaven in your life. How many different kinds of leaven are there? Wickedness, malice, sinful things, religion, hypocrisy. All this Judaism at that time, keeping the Sabbath, outward circumcision, all of those things are leaven. Paul says in Galatians 1, you still keep those things? Don't you know a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? There's so many leaven, so many different kinds of leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Get rid of the malice, lies, wickedness, envy, strife, fighting, fleshly things, sinful things. Are you enjoying Christ that is without leaven? Tell me the truth. You say, oh Lord, I thank you, you're so wonderful. The Lord says, how am I wonderful? Tell me, the Lord will ask you, okay? Then say, tell me how wonderful I am. Well, yeah, you're just wonderful. Yeah, how wonderful. I'm wonderful. You can't say how wonderful she is. Wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? He said, Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. But how wonderful? I don't know, but you're just wonderful. Do you enjoy the perfect humanity of Christ? Are we keeping the feast of the unleavened bread? If the Lord search out your heart, can you see a lot of leaven there? 7 days, nobody can see any leaven in your house. Not just you enjoy the unleavened bread, but you need to clean up your house. For 7 days. Whatever leaven you can find, get rid of it from your house. Otherwise, you're not keeping the feast of the unleavened bread. Are we coming to keep that feast or not? Are we? Are you? You see, this is the story. Don't think being a Christian is easy. That is a simple thing, to keep the feast. Are you keeping the feast of the Passover? Huh? Huh? No, you tell me how to keep the fast Passover feast, Freddy. How? Tell me, the Passover feast, what is it for? Just so that you will not die, but stay in Egypt? Vince, what is the Passover for? Just so that the firstborn will not be killed, and then you still stay on in Egypt? Why do they eat the lamb? You don't know why they eat the lamb. You know why they eat the lamb? For to have the strength to get out of Egypt. Oh, come on. So that means you are not fully keeping the feast. Oh, I'm a Christian. I said, yes, I'm saved from what? Oh, Galatians 1 says, to save you from this present evil age. many things to learn. So when we come together, after a meeting, are you more free from the world or are you just as bound by the world? Keep the feast. And then it's not just the lamb. And with the lamb, there's some bitter herbs. What are the bitter herbs for? No, you don't eat bitter herbs. What's the herbs for? Huh? For healing, my goodness. Herbs. Herbs are for healing. Didn't you read in Revelation the leaves of the tree of life is for the what?
Healing of nations.
Yeah, well. That's why all the Chinese herbal medicine are so bitter. Kuda.
So, eat the lamb without bitter herbs.
Is your Christ so sweet? We want a sweet Christ. How about a bitter Christ? Is your Christ always so sweet? That's why he's so sweet. Look at Brother Stan. He's so sweet because he only knows the sweet aspect. How about the bitter aspect? Amen, right?
Amen.
We all love the sweet. Yeah. You ask everybody here, do you like something bitter? You like sweet. Chocolate. Oh, that's very good. Yeah. Right, Mercy? We like sweet. Nice. Honey. Wonderful. Is your Christ sweet?
Don't say no.
Yes. But. Yes. But. Oh, so bitter. You know, the word of God in your mouth, it is sweet as honey. But when you eat it, it is very bitter inside because it works. Whatever works within you is bitter. Because it heals you. You only want sweet things. It's not going to help you. What are we going to do? Do you want a sweet Christ or a bitter Christ? Suppose, yeah. Sometimes I need a sweet Christ. When I'm too bitter, I need a sweet Christ. When I'm too sweet, I need a bitter Christ.
Hey! This is the enjoyment of Christ.
Yes.
Keep the feast.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, you can really see coming together is to enjoy the reality.
Amen.
That's it, Lord. But we have the reality. Only the doctrine. You know, today, it's not that I don't appreciate the truth in the Bible, but I'm allergic to just doctrine. Because there's a GMO there, genetically modified. They altered everything at the end. You know, the problem with my skin reaction. No doctors could tell me what's the trouble. And finally, the only explanation is because all the food today that we eat, GMO. You know, what God has created is already perfect. You alter it. You're not modifying it. You're killing it. You're defiling it. You're defiling it. They call it modifying. But God calls it defiling.
The Word of God is already pure, very good. Have you read Psalm 19? You love it. Why? Because it tells you the Word of God is so pure already, you cannot purify it more. If you try to purify the Word of God, you're in trouble. It changes. It's not edible anymore. You try to alter it genetically. My goodness, it's going to kill you. Your body will reject it. That's why you have a lot of antibodies. And at the end, after having so many antibodies, then you have an autoimmune problem. You asked Brother Yang, they're from Suzhou, China. When they got saved, they just knew the Savior. People want to show them so many books and all this. You read this, commentaries. I said, stop. I told him, no, don't read anything. Just read the Word of God, the Bible. Know this and know that. How do I understand? You read it, you'll understand. You have the Holy Spirit, the best teacher living in you. That's it. That's good enough. No other teacher is better. The more pure. Now he understands what I'm talking about. 对不对, Emma? Don't try to modify God's word. Obey it. Eat it. Live it. That's it. To keep the feast. I know we don't have time to really get into it. But this, three times a year, they all have to come together is to keep the feast. Not to do things, not to have a social life, a wonderful social life. Let's go bowling, or let's do this, or let's do that, or let's, wow, let's do. No, keep the feast. Keep the feast. To really enjoy this wonderful Christ. And who's going to bring this Christ? Pastor John So? God forbid, may the Lord save me. Everyone must bring this one.
Yes, amen.
That's why it says none shall come empty. And all the male shall come. So are you a spiritual male or a spiritual female? Miss, what are you? Amen. That's right. That's what Paul says. That we all should be strengthened in our inner man. Christ within you is not a female. Sorry. This life is a new man. It's a wonderful life. Christ is all and in all in this new man. So the Christ that you receive, is he weak or is he a strong Christ? How do you know he's a strong one? Well, he says, give me a quick verse in the Bible. A really quick verse in the Bible. He who is in you is weaker than he who is in the world. Are you more than conquerors or are you not more than conquerors?
Yes, we are.
Through Christ.
Amen.
You're more than conquerors. I can do nothing. All things. All things? Wow. How? Right. So are you a male or a female? Is the Christ in you a male or a female? Ah, you got a female Christ? So, are you a male or are you a female?
I'm a male.
That's why you love to come to the meeting, but not empty handed.
Right.
Don't say, oh, I have to bring something. No, I'm not coming anymore. I'll just stay home. Then you're a female. you're not a male. So, stay home. You're not a female. You're a female. All the males, mother Sophia. So don't think the Lord is prejudice against the female. No, he's not. But there's a spiritual meaning behind it. Are you female? Stay home. You don't have to come. Are you a male? You must come, but not empty-handed. So are you going to come or not? You want to come, Ima?
I do. I want to be there.
You will be there?
Yeah.
How?
With the offering.
With the offering. We need to have a change of concept.
Yes.
That's why to give this message, fellowship, concerning this point, is not just a message. It requires our willingness. Do we want to be a true worshiper of God? Or should a father seek prayer? That's what the father, okay. If you can't find anybody, you make me a real worshiper. I want to be a real worshiper. Well, what can I do? Hey, nobody wants to be. How about you? Right. And the offering for God's food. God's food. Who is going to prepare some food for him? I don't know if God will say, well, it's nobody. If you don't want to prepare, I'll ask Michael to prepare, and Gabriel, or one of those cherubim. But they are not the cook. They don't know how to cook it. Sorry, Michael. Because Christ didn't die for them. Hebrews tell us that Jesus Christ came. He didn't put on the angels. He put on the descendants of Abraham. They are not even qualified to preach the gospel. So Cornelius has to go and fetch the cook, Peter, because the angel says, sorry, you have to go get him, he's in Joppa right now. Go send somebody to get the cook here, and he will prepare some. That's a message for you. The angels cannot even preach the gospel. So who can prepare some food? What are you going to prepare? A message? No wonder they couldn't sleep the night before. Don't know what to prepare a message. Well, I'm not preparing a message. I'm going to prepare this living Christ. But when do you prepare? You prepare every day, all the time. You cannot just all of a sudden try to raise a lamb. No, you have a flock already. You should be in that business already, in raising cows and flocks and goats and sheep. Otherwise, you cannot just, I'm going to Jerusalem. Well, where am I going to get one? That's why they go and buy one there somewhere. Somebody has to raise it for you. Okay, for cows and sheep and goats and pigeons and yeah, you can do that. You can buy from grocery stores. But Christ, John, I don't have Christ. Would you please give me some? Sorry, you know Matthew 25. We read other ones. Sorry, not enough for you and me. So you go by. Can you give me your Christ, please? I don't even have enough for myself. Who's going to give you Christ? The pastor? I don't know what pastor can give you. He needs it himself. He doesn't even have it. I can't be kidding. Food for God. It's not a Christ that God gave you. It is the Christ that you produce. So are you a living a Christ producing life? Don't think this is a simple outline. We have to tell the Lord God, change our way. We want to learn. We want to change. We want to keep on ascending. You know, within us, amongst us, he has a liberty, right? You go to other places, you don't have liberty. All of a sudden, stand up and you want to share something, the pastor will tell you, sit down. Yeah. Who are you? Where did you graduate? Which cemetery? Which cemetery? Sorry. Which seminary? Yeah. It sounded almost the same.
Yeah.
My English is not that good. What is your qualification? Where is your pay? Who gave you the permission to speak? You don't even have that privilege. But the Lord has brought us up to this point. But then you say, I'm touched with that verse, and he's touched with the other verse. But God doesn't want you just to be touched with that verse. It's good better not to be touched. But, okay, now where's the real thing? Well, I'm just touched. Okay, you're touched, but where is it? Touch, I'm touch, he's touch, everybody's touch. touch. I said, no, this is not what can satisfy God. You need to be eloquent in the message, but you don't need to be eloquent to present to Christ, to share it. You just need to have a couple of minutes. But it has to be a real thing. And that real thing, the Holy Spirit can multiply it, even if it's only 2 loaves and 5 fish. You can feed them.
Amen.
Those are real fish. They're not genetically modified fish. Not polluted. Food. This is what can satisfy God. Right. if we are just, let's say, 30 people, it doesn't matter how many people, but all of us bring the reality of Christ, you experience, my goodness, everyone, 3 minutes, we have 30 people, already, 90 minutes, you don't have enough time, 2 hours, you really don't have enough time, and everybody will be so, wow, this Christ is my goodness, wonderful, and nobody will fall asleep, I tell you. But if I give them a message 1.5 hours, it's better than a sleeping pill. Put people to sleep. If you can't sleep, come to the meeting. You will sleep well. You will really fall asleep. But if everybody presents as a living Christ, wow, what a glory it is to the Father.
Amen.
It's food for God, and then the feast for all the saints together. Then we won't argue about doctrine. Then nobody is greater than the other. What is better, pizza or salad? No difference. It's an enjoyment. Yeah. Pizza, chicken wings, salad, noodles. What is better? No, you need everything to have a nice meal. Right. So? Or should we just all bring, everybody brings chicken wings? We have chicken wings up to here. No. Somebody has to bring some salad and they have some cookies. It's a melon. And then maybe at the end a piece of like forest cake. We don't look down at all that's on this salad. No, nobody looks down on that. This is because it's organic, it's fruit. Healthy.
Yes.
It fills you up. Tasty.
Amen.
If you bring Christ, nobody will look down on that. Right. Nobody. Nobody will say, oh, that's peanuts. Well, what's wrong with peanuts? We have peanuts for breakfast this morning. Peanuts with porridge and all that. Yeah, why not? Never had a peanut for breakfast? Oh, of course, you have peanut butter, right? Except we have peanut porridge. What's wrong with that? Good. Really good. Food.
Amen.
Will be enjoying real things. Let me tell you, after you have such a taste of Christ, you cannot go back to that. I don't know what kind of eating they are. You cannot go back. It's just impossible to go back. And it's not a matter of criticizing. No, you don't need to criticize. Because you taste it and you know what's good. You know what is black forest cake. If I bring another kind of cake to you, say, that's black forest cake. So, John, don't kid me, I'm from black forest. I live here. That came from black forest. I can fool other people. I cannot fool somebody who came from the black forest. So when you've tasted, you're ruined by that. Back. Right. This is the way of worship. Different than human religious concept. Really true. You know, for the people of Israel who were coming out of Egypt, slaying the Passover lamb. Did they weep for the lamb? Eating the lamb. Oh, poor lamb, poor lamb. Oh, I have to eat poor lamb. Poor lamb, oh, poor lamb. Oh, lamb, I thank you, you died for me.
Well, you should be very happy.
Yes.
Oh, happy what? That the firstborn didn't die.
Exactly.
You were saved. And ready to move out.
Yes.
Get out of Egypt. And you've been filled and satisfied. And it tastes good, especially the leg of lamb. Roasted.
Tastes good.
Smells good. Wonderful. Don't you like lamb?
Oh, yeah, that's good. Go to Black Angus. Get a rack of lamb.
Yeah.
Are you weeping when you're eating the rack of lamb? Black Angus. Waitress, is it? What's happening to you? Did it taste good? Feast. Christ, our Passover lamb, is slain. How wonderful. Aren't you happy Christ died for you? Or are you sentimental? You know, he rose the third day. And after they saw Christ risen, did they all cry, "Oh Lord, oh, I still remember you suffered so much. Oh Jesus, you died. Oh, you died. Lord, you died. But I'm alive. No." Well, in the gospel, in that tomb place,
right.
Woman,
why are you so?
Why are we? Well, they took my Christ away. We don't know where they took the body away. Then the Lord called her. No, the son. Oh, Lord,
wow. Alive! And not only alive, he's on the throne. It all depends on what kind of a Christ you see. Huh? To remember the Lord's gift doesn't mean sentimental remembering.
Oh, you say, oh my goodness, I can feel the nail in my hands too, oh Lord. Wow, it must be so painful, Lord Jesus.
You think the Lord wants you to remember the nails? This is our human, natural context.
That's right.
When I was in Shanghai one day, Han Sengs came to me and asked me a question.
Sure.
May we ask you a question? I said, why not? Is it right to really weep, cry, because somebody cries so loud, even in German, heulen, nicht nur weinen, heulen. You know what? Crying.
Wailing.
It's just brawling.
Wailing.
Wailing. In the Lord's table. I don't know how to answer that question. I said, well, if somebody wants to wail, well, let him wail. What shall we do? But if somebody forced me to wail, sorry, for me it's a rejoicing feast. If somebody wants to wail at a wedding feast, what can I do? But you know, but if it's in a funeral and somebody wants me to laugh, I can't laugh either, right? So it all depends on the occasion.
But if you are in a religious state of mind,
Oh, this is for remembering his death.
So how can I remember his death? He must be suffering a lot. Oh, he's suffering. Oh, poor Jesus, you know. My. I should have been the one who died, but he died for me. Oh, boy, he went through all my suffering. Oh, he was hit in this crown of thorns. Oh, wow, you remember that and you keep on weeping. Now, if you were the Lord Jesus, what would you say? What would you say? It's over. I'm now in the throne. Come to me in the throne. When John, he was there, the Lord took him to the throne in the third heaven. And he saw nobody was qualified, worthy to take the little book, the scroll out of God's hand. He was crying out loud. He was really weeping, wailing, weeping. The angel said, "Weep not. Stop crying. Look. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb that was slain with seven horns. I'm sorry, with seven eyes. Right. He overcame. He's an overcoming Lamb. What are you crying about? Did you see such a wonderful, victorious Lamb? So the angel says, "Weep not." Well, you want to weep? What can I say? So I share with them a little bit of why I don't weep. Because my Lamb is now transformed into the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb who overcame. A victorious Lamb. And he is worthy to take the book and to open the seven seals. Well, what a lamb you're going to cry about. What are you going to cry about? It all depends on what kind of lamb you see. Is it the same lamb or is it a different lamb? Tell me. It's the same lamb. When I have cancer and about to die, you'll be weeping, right? Or poor John is dying. But all of a sudden I got healed, the Lord healed me, and I'm now healthy. Will you still weep?
No.
If you see me and you're still weeping, I say, "Well, you want me to die? You want me to die again?" Hebrews says, "Once is enough, once for all." Once is good enough. But now he's sitting on the throne after he died. So, you know what I mean? You have to know the living Christ, man. I don't know how to explain it anymore. Because you're dealing with a living person, a living Christ, a Christ who is alive today. Now if you go to the Catholic cathedral, or you go to Israel and Jerusalem and you go inside, although they still have the baby Jesus there on the crib, the baby Jesus. Meanwhile, he's already the ancient one with long white hair, and his eyes were burning fire, and out of his mouth is a sharp two-edged sword. It's not that little baby anymore, lying there. Neither is he on the cross dying there, but he's sitting on the throne. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 1 of such a wonderful Christ? Meanwhile, he's a different Christ now, and yet the same. Oh, I still love your baby picture. this is Fragile. This is Fragile.
Oh, isn't he cute?
Fragile is cute. Oh, so cute.
Oh, you know Fragile.
Fragile is so cute. This is Freddy. I like this Freddy. I'll keep this Freddy. I don't like that, the fat Freddy. What do you think of me if I'm like that, Freddy? See, he has to go see a psychiatrist. To know the living Christ today is very important.
Yeah.
To know the living Christ. May the Lord have mercy.
Amen.
You know, it's very easy to be sentimental about the baby Christ. But it's not so easy to be sentimental about the grown-up Freddy.
Yeah.
Right? Are you still sentimental about him? Do you say, oh, Freddy, you're so cute? Will you say that? No, but well, he was a baby. You said he was a cute baby. I think the Lord is suffering a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. We have to feel for him. We have to feel for him. Many times before him, I do it, Father, forgive us. How do we change the situation? What should we do? How can we make it clear to us? And only if you know this Christ can you really grow in life. Otherwise you cannot grow in life. You will always be the same. That's why Christians are always the same. From the day they are saved until 40, 50 years later, they are still sitting there listening to a pastor, listening to a choir, and dropping their money, and then go home and live the same old life. I don't want to be like that to you. In your human life, you're not like that. Right? You experience so much changes in your human life, right?
Yeah,
a lot. Why not in our spiritual life, right? I hope the church in Fountain Valley will be a different church.
Amen.
True worshippers. And the Father will be so happy, he will be fully satisfied and come back quickly.
Amen.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I've been looking for this for so long now. Finally, I found some true worshippers. How about
praise
that?
The Lord.
Amen. Don't you want to be like that?
Yeah,
amen.
Really.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So, we have a question.
Yes.
What does it mean to bring Christ as an offering to God, but practically? And if you can tell us some examples.
Yes. There are, actually tonight I was going to fellowship about it, or tomorrow, but we can talk about it. According to the Bible, Christ is not just our Savior, He is everything to us. That is why you have Leviticus describing to us different kinds of offering. You have the burnt offering, you have the meal offering. Oh, yeah, are you going to? Yeah, okay. So what time do we have? What time are you going to have dinner?
About 15-20 minutes.
As soon as they finish. For example, let me just share with you just one simple thing concerning Christ being the meal offering. The meal offering described the fine, perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His virtues. The Lord is the only one who is without sin. His humanity is perfect. Our humanity is so corrupt, sinful, with all the leaven, all kinds of leaven in our humanity. And yet you can see the Lord in His lowliness. He was God, but He was willing to put away His glory and lower Himself to become not only a human being, to become a slave, to serve us. But me, as a fallen human being that is so low, I'm just dust. But I think I'm such a wonderful person, and I think I'm so great, and everybody must listen to me. Well, this kind of humanity is fallen. Right. And then I have no patience. If you did something wrong, if I did something wrong, I'm always very lenient to myself. Oh, yeah, it's okay. But if he does something wrong, wow, my God, why did you do that? Don't you know this is wrong?
How could you?
Exactly. And next time, if you do it again, there is a door. Don't come anymore. I don't want to see you anymore, okay? So please, don't do it next time. I'm like that. We are many times like that. Now for me, to enjoy the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, my humanity is fallen. I need a change. I need to take you as my humanity. Now, to experience Christ, all of a sudden your wife talks to you as you, I am the head of the family. Ah, don't you know I'm the head? Then the wife will say, but I'm the neck holding the head, okay? If I go away, then the head falls down. Ah, and you'll be fighting there. But as a husband, more and more you learn, Lord, actually you are my head. I am not the head. So when I'm about to fight and get angry, and I take the Lord, Lord, no, you are my head. You are not like that. But how many times I offended the Lord forgave me. And He pointed His fingers at me. And now my wife just said something, and I'm like a tiger. So to take Christ as my humanity, right, to just stop. The Lord says, stop. Take me as your life. So at that moment when I take the Lord as my life, I stop. I don't react to my wife. And there's a love within me, in the spirit, for her.
Amen.
Right? It's exactly what Peter says. Right? So that we can be heirs together of the grace of God. Now, that is to enjoy Christ as my meal offering, the fine flower. Right? Then, praise the Lord, I can give a testimony.
Yeah.
I can bring this. Although it's a little testimony. Man, I wanted to react in a certain situation. You don't have to be so specific. Oh, my wife was so terrible. Don't say that. That's not good. It's not that your wife is terrible. You are terrible. I was so terrible. My wife just said a little bit. And I wanted to react already to fight and say, I'm the head. Why did you say that? Don't you know I'm the head? You have to submit to me. But praise the Lord, I take Christ.
Amen.
I take Christ to be the real husband.
Yes.
He is not like that. He is the real husband.
Amen.
The church is his bride. Why, how many times do you don't listen to the Lord? He didn't react. He didn't chop off my head. So, to enjoy Christ as such a meal offering, I can bring that. As a praise the Lord, I experience that. Wow, this Christ is really different than my humanity.
Amen.
I learned to experience it. Take Christ.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It works.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So, when you share such a wonderful testimony,
yes.
You don't need to be a preacher to share such a Christ. You need to experience him.
Yes.
Then you can bring the meal offering, the wonderful cake, right? Or the sufferings of Christ. Paul says, I want to have the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, you know, none of us like to suffer, right? In the past couple of weeks, my, I have a rash here. Oh, terrible. In the beginning, I complained. I said, Lord, why? I don't deserve this. Blah, 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 blah. Why? I murmured. I said, what? Lord, how come you let this happen to me? Right? The people who don't believe in you, they don't suffer like me, and how come I? I say, Father, am I not your son? Well, if my daughter is very sick, I say, Father, I would do everything to heal, and you have the power, how come? Blah, 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 blah. Oh my goodness, I'm complaining. Then the Lord touched my heart. Just as those little spots and blah, blah. You're already complaining like that. And the Lord has been crucified on a cross.
Yeah.
What is this compared to his crucifixion? I was ashamed before. I said, Lord, amen. This is a small suffering. Maybe I deserve it. I really deserve it. Because I'm a sinner. And the verse came to me, he who suffered in the flesh was seized from sin.
Amen.
Very good. I said, this suffering must be good for me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, I don't complain anymore. I don't complain. Praise the Lord. No murmurings.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm okay. Did not Paul says do all things without murmuring and complaining? How many times you complain? And the Lord says, stop complaining. Praise the Lord. Right? So there's so many aspects to for us to experience the wonderful humanity of Christ. He suffered so much he never said a word. I suffered a little bit, I have lots of things to say. So, it's a wonderful opportunity for me to experience the humanity of the Lord Jesus. I must have needed it. Otherwise, I told the Lord, I'm not Job, you know. I'm John, I'm not Job. I really told him that, because I was complaining. I said, be not mistaken, I'm not Job. I'm John. You'll be surprised at how I talk to the Lord. So that's what I needed. I'm sure the Lord knows what I need. Yeah. What? Just a little bit of suffering and I cannot take it anymore? What if the Lord wants me to be a martyr? What am I going to do? Deny him? To take the sufferings from the Lord. What about if somebody slanders you? Why, are you going to justify? Immediately you'll say, I'm not like, I didn't say that, I didn't do that. What? Well, repent.
The Lord was slandered right and left, up and down, inside, outside. Sometimes he didn't say anything. How about that? I need to learn. All of these are wonderful opportunities for me to gain Christ. And when I gain this Christ, I can bring him to the meeting. My, you gain an aspect of Christ. And you overcome sin and all that. Wow, the Lord strengthen you. When the temptation came, immediately you can resist it and the devil fled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, wow, the young person there sitting in the meeting says, wow, you can resist the devil. Yeah, it's written, resist the devil and he flees from you. Have you ever done that? Did you ever see the devil fleeing? Or you flee? You give up. All right. So many wonderful experiences you can experience Christ. Also experience Christ as the burnt offering. It's absolute for God. You know, when the Lord Jesus came, he came as one who is 100% absolute for God. Really, can you imagine if the Lord just for one moment gave in for the devil's temptation? If God, then we don't have salvation anymore. No, the Lord wants us also to be absolute for the living God and not for doctrines. You have many opportunities. The Lord tells you, stop watching TV. Are you for God or are you for TV? Wait. Well, the German's going to make a goal now.
The Lord says, you know the word Tor in German means what? Fool. You're a fool. Oh, you should say, fool. Oh, sorry. There's an L at the very end. The Lord says, stop. You won't. You can't stop. You can't stop. Just a little thing you cannot overcome. You are not for God. So the Lord says, come, spend some time with me. But Lord, it's not the end yet. I need to know the end. Know the end of what? Of the ball entering into that. What is more important for you? The Father or the toe? What's more important for you? Then you are taking Christ as a burnt offering. You're for the Father's will, not for all that. I'm not against watching a football. You know, hey, if you have time, just enjoy it a little bit, that's fine. But if the Lord tells you stop, you better stop. Because you're not for that thing, you're for God. Many times, yes, taking Christ as your burnt offering means you're obedient to the Father, and the Lord is obedient to the Father even unto death on the cross. But you in a small thing, and I in a small thing, I cannot even obey. Even just a little thing there, the Father tells me, and the Lord tells me, stop thinking that thing, that thought. Whoa. No, thought means nothing. It's a daydreaming. You know a dream? You know what a dream is? Jasmine, what is a dream? Something what? Yes, is it real? Solid? Wonderful? When you wake up, you say, boop! It's gone. So, nothing. So, why do you want to entertain that daydream? Why? And even some fallen thoughts. Do you deal with it? I said, no, I don't want that. That's not for me. See? You need to take Christ. Amen. To gain Christ. If Christ is indeed your burnt offering, you will obey him.
you will learn obedience. Then, praise the Lord, you obey the Lord, you can bring that wonderful testimony. I have learned in this past week, 7 days, day by day, to obey the Lord. Whatever He says, I say, amen. Drop it. Right. If your wife says something and you want to react and fire a cannonball and explode it, He says, no, Lord. Keep it. The Lord says, stop, don't say it. Then there's peace among you, right? If you say it, then there's quarreling. You say one word, she says two, and she says two, you said four, and at the end you'll be firing at each other. For nothing. Usually it's for nothing. It's just yourself is offended. Your pride is offended. What? Are you going to fight because of that? No. Learn to say nothing. You know, it's not easy to say nothing. It's not that you have nothing to say. You have a lot to say, but to say nothing, it is so hard. Right? But if you take Christ, praise the Lord, you can overcome it. You can learn to deny your soul life. That's a wonderful experience. Then you'll have peace. Wow, you enjoy a wonderful peace at home. No fighting, no quarreling, isn't it good? If you can stay 1 week, right, after the Lord's table, Monday through Saturday, wow, there's peace between you and your wife, and you experience so much. Stop, don't say anything. You want to say something, it's up to you. Don't say anything. You take the Lord. This peace, and you have a wonderful peace offering to bring to the meeting. Wow, I really enjoyed the love and peace in my family. By Christ. And you gain Christ. I'm not kidding. Christ is so practical in our daily life. This is really wonderful. That's how you enjoy the offering. Okay. I hope it's clear a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Had a quick testimony.
Yes.
I was at home this week and I had no peace at all. Because I made a horrible mess upstairs in the house, and with Timo leaving, of course, this is home, and I wanted to, make sure I took care of it. But within myself, I felt so
short. Felt so short.
Yeah, short. Or I was angry with myself about it, and I was trying to figure out, how I would go about telling him, or should I. No. Should I tell him now and just ruin his trip? Well, wait till he gets back and tell him then. And then I thought, well, I'll just fix the problem, and then when he gets back, I'll let him know what happened. And I realized within myself that's still very selfish, because I'm trying to delay something that I should just come out and say to him. And so this morning, I was sitting on the couch. Well, I actually talked with him about it. But this morning I was sitting on the couch and I was reading the word, and this gnat, this little gnat flew in front of my face. And the Lord told me, don't kill it. And it's short. Of course, the gnat flies right on the word in Ephesians 4:3. It just landed there. It was just amazing. It said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I realized that there's so many things that can happen to conflict with that verse, that will keep us from keeping that unity of the Spirit. Whether it's situations that happen between the saints or just within ourselves, there's so much that can you know, rob us of that peace. And I realized that, you know, in regard to the saints and, you know, how I go about dealing with them, you know, it has to go before the Lord. And I continue to seek the Lord. And whatever that means, you know, however I feel about it, or Timo, or anyone feels, the Lord is the person that deserves the glory.
Amen.
It's not about protecting feelings or, you know, or trying to delay things, but we should always seek truth. Seek the Lord, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, as we talked about.
Amen.
And there can't be that darkness or that, you know, trying to keep things, but really seek the Lord. And it was good to experience the Lord in that way.
Amen.
And then to speak with Him, He was actually very grateful that, you know, I did talk with Him. And of course, I told Him that I would, you know, cover everything. And, but it was good to experience the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's gaining Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have one really quick testimony as well.
Amen.
But it's regarding when the first time that I attended a meeting with this church in Fountain Valley, because I grew up in Christianity and was always, you know, seeking what the Lord desired, really seeking Him, and then had an aching. And so eventually, He finally invited me to a meeting. So I came, and I was wondering what could be so different about it or something. I didn't know. I thought we were, like, going to the same type of church. So I came to the meeting. It was a Friday night gospel meeting. And what really, the only thing, actually, that I remember about it is that all of the saints were sharing. That all the saints were bringing their spiritual sacrifices from the week. And it just hit me. It was like, oh my goodness, wow, all these people, they're experiencing, they're not just reading the word, they're experiencing the Lord throughout the week. And I know they are, because now they're telling me about it and I'm hearing it. And it was, I was like, wow, this is so different, this makes so much sense. And I even remember going back to our small group from our church and kind of wishing we could do something like that, and even trying to share that with them. And they were like, wait, so, and wanting now to formalize it and all this stuff. And I'm like, no. It's just, you know, you experience the Lord and we share it. So I can just really attest to the fact of how the Lord is glorified when the saints seek Him and experience Him as their offering, various offerings throughout the week, and then can really bring this Christ that we have experienced in the meetings, and so pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you.
Love it. Love it.
Matthew 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you.
Amen.
Seek and you will find.
Amen.
Knock and it will be open to you.
Amen.
For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds.
Amen.
And to him who knocks it will be open.
Amen.
For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?
Amen.
Amen. And we have no excuse to come empty-handed, because we can come to the Father and we ask Him, and then He gives us.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to ask Him for bread and for fish, And, it's for the saints, and also for the Father's satisfaction.
Amen. Amen.